The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you've just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your user-submitted stories, hang out with friends, talk about witchy pop culture, or chat with you about what is going on in our personal practices.
And if you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submission on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. And if you don't want to type out everything and you are a voice note girly, gender control, you can actually send us a voicemail, and you can call this number at 351-207-0799. Now, there is a 3-minute limit. When you hit that limit and you're still telling your story, just call us back. We'll piece it together. You're good. But yeah, you can send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any kind of funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if we can share your name or if you prefer us not to. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit.
Yes. And this month, you guys, I'm teaching this month's class. I asked Maria if it was okay. She said yes. So now you guys are going to be sick of me by the end of the month. So on May 31st at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I will be teaching a class to you all on baneful magic and teaching you some of my favorite hexes. So I would love to see you there. It's going to be great. This is for the library tier and up. So come and hang out with me and let me tell you how to hex your ex.
Well, not just library, if you want to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It's only that one class. You're like, I just dig Robin. I just want to watch this one class.
I only care about Robin.
Then you can do that actually on Patreon now. You can just buy Robin's class or any of our past classes too. Like, go take a browse. If like a subscription thing is just not, you know, your jam, just buy a one-off thing. Completely fine.
Yeah. Join us. We would love to have you.
And additionally, this is what happens when we don't label who's supposed to speak.
I know, big goof up.
But next month, Robin and I both are going to be at the Windy City Parafest in Chicago. We're going to be there from the 12th to the 15th, saying hi to everybody and doing a live episode in front of everyone. We're going to be talking about using tarot in ghost investigations. So yeah. Pretty exciting.
Get out there. Join us. Yeah. As a reminder, there is going to be a live stream version of that. And if you use the code COFFEE at checkout, you get a discount. So yeah. Whether you're going to hang out with us in person or hang out with us online, use a discount. Get in there.
And in person, we're going to have a booth and we're going to have a bunch of goodies available at that booth, including
doing live in-person tarot readings.
We're very excited about it. It's going to be very good. Now, we will say the live readings will be limited, so get in there as fast as you can if you want one from us. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Get in there. Sprint to us. So this week, Maria has an announcement. One additional announcement. Maria, get to a girlfriend.
Okay, so last year I was asked to write an essay for a book, and it is Tarot in Other Words, and it is edited by Cassandra Clare, which they are the author of like a bunch of other queer related books when it comes to magic, like amazing author. Love it and love that I was able to be included in this, but I'm in great company with other essayists. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's the right word.
And I wrote a little essay on the Empress in relation to queerness and claiming our identities through that card, like using it as like, you know, a focal point. And I even have like how to create an altar around it and how to magically work with it. Like it's all there. And yeah, I hope you guys will pick it up. That is Tarot in Other Worlds. In other words, I can speak. But that just came out.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm very excited.
Very exciting. And congratulations on your first publication.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very exciting. So this week, Maria and I are going to listen to your voicemails. So Maria, you ready to get started?
Yeah. Girly pop. Let's listen.
All right.
Hey, witches. This is JRR on SFP, also known as the White Collar Pagan. And here's the story of why I stopped reading Stephen King books when I was in high school. It was 1980-something, and I was living in a small coastal Californian town known for its beach, its celebrity mayor, and almost total lack of streetlights, which made for a very dark night. One night, I was tucked up in bed reading It, long past my usual lights out, but deep into the story. And then there was some kind of scratching noise outside my bedroom window.
No.
Raccoons, I thought, or a cat. Noise would stop and then start again. It's just some kind of animal, I told myself. Then I had a terrible thought. But that's what the kids in the books always say. Usually right before the killer clown starts being an action. I turned off my reading light, which is one of those hinged architectural lamps that seemed to be a thing in the 80s, and listened as hard as I could. Scratch, scratch, scratch. I carefully got up and got just close enough to my window to see that I really could not see a thing outside.
No.
Which, of course, in my mind meant that whatever was out there could probably see me. Scratch, scratch. Right back into bed. And under the covers, because monster rules, hey, they can't get you there. Which, by the way, is what kids think in horror novels. Somehow I must have fallen asleep, because sometime later I woke with a start. My room was fully lit up, because my reading light had turned back on and had somehow swung back over my bed and was hovering about a foot from my face.
No.
I knew I hadn't left it like that, because there's just no way I could have gone to sleep with the light shining right on me like that. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Eyes closed tight, I tried to stay perfectly still, because again, there are rules. Scratch, scratch. Finally, I couldn't stand it, and I slowly raised my hand to turn out the light, or at least move it away from my face. But right as I touched it, bam! The bulb blew out like a lightning strike. So I was back under the sheets before after images had faded, and I neither opened my eyes nor stuck any part of me outside the covers until I heard my mother in the kitchen making breakfast. And even then, I checked to make sure there was daylight outside my window. I never knew what caused the scratching or how the light moved over my face and turned itself on, but my story has become one of several about supernatural encounters in my home. I didn't read another Stephen King book until I went away from college. Thanks for letting me share my story. Love the podcast. Love the great work. Blessed be.
Hey, JRR. What the fuck? Absolutely not. Are you kidding with me?
No. Yeah, I like even as like high schoolers or like, you know, we still get like scared and you're like under the covers. You easily slip into that like child, you know, hood like comfort zone again when something scary happens. And I love how, like, I really do think, like, spirits love to mess with us, like, when our energy is up, like, after we watch a scary movie, after, like, you know, we watch an action movie, we read a scary book, like, our energy is up and they feed off of that. So they do, like, messed up things like that. Like, 100%.
Absolutely not. Are you kidding with me? I would shit my pants, especially, like, listen, especially when we're taking into consideration that JR is in high school at this point. I'm thinking back to, like, 16, 17-year-old me. I would have cleared my bowels out if that happened to me. I wouldn't have just hidden under the covers. I would have passed away. I would have evaporated. There would never have been a Robin Valentine. I would have turned to ash. I could not, my body at that age could not have handled that. I don't know how they're still existing.
I wonder, like, is it possible, like, always, you know, you go over, like, mundanely what could have caused this. Do you think parents, like, they saw reading Stephen King, let's go mess, you know, mess with them.
Oh, maybe.
Like, scratching.
I would have done that.
Window.
I would do that to my kids, so maybe. That's still, like, so crazy.
Yeah. Have you seen those videos of parents, like, their kids are messing with, like, Ouija boards and they turn off the lights to their
room? My dad did that to me. Have I never told you this story?
No.
Oh my God. The listeners will like this story too. I was, like, probably, like, 12 or 13 when The Ring came out. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that movie since it came out, so take from this what you will, but you remember that they had, like, the distorted faces when you would take photos, and that was, like, the sign that they had 7 days or whatever. So digital cameras had just come out, and my dad is a photographer.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So he was immediately like, I need to have a digital camera, and the
we
quality
used to call
wasn't
him
very
photo
good.
Photo dad.
Yeah. Photo dad. So, like, he. Yeah, exactly. My dad is photography dad. So the digital cameras had just come out. He was really excited. He got one. I think we spent like $1,000 on, like, just like one of those little Sony point and shoots. And Photoshop was pretty new at the time. And so my dad took a photo of me and distorted, like, did a spiral twist thing on my face.
That is so mean.
And then, like, called me in the room. It was like, Robin, you have to come in here. And I'm like, what? And I'm, like, running to him. He's like, I don't know what's happened, but look at your photo. And I was scared shitless. I was, like, 11 or 12, something like that, whenever that movie came out. Scared the fuck out of me. It absolutely scared the pants off me.
That is so funny.
And that he still brings so it funny. Up to this day. It's been, like, what, 25 years? And he still talks about
that's
it.
That's a win. That's a parent win.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay to inflict a little light trauma.
Like, it's fine. I talked about that one with my therapist, and I'm doing really well now. No, I'm just kidding. Oh my gosh. Oh, all right, no. Let's put on another one.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Darian. I am a travel nurse. I am really hoping that this is for the podcast, because otherwise this scary story is going to be super scary on somebody else's voicemail. I have been a travel nurse in the emergency room on the East Coast for quite a few years. But when I was first a nurse at my very first job, I was at a nursing home, and I was 18. I was working the middle of the night because I was still going on for more training, education, stuff like that. So I was working overnight, going to school during the day. So it was 2, maybe 3 in the morning. I had a patient who I knew was going to pass away. I had been giving him, you know, morphine and all of that good stuff. And I knew that he would be passing soon. So I'm sorry, I'm driving. I told the aides that I was going to go in and sit with him for a little bit and hold his hand. I knew that he would be passing, and he didn't have family or friends or anybody there to visit him, and he hadn't for weeks. And he also hadn't been verbal, so he was just lying in bed, closing his eyes, not saying anything, not doing anything. So we had just been taking complete care of him for weeks. So in the middle of the night, I'm in there holding his hand, just talking, as you know, one would do. And he sits straight up in the bed, points to the corner of the room, and starts screaming, "I'm not going with him. I'm not going with him. I'm not going with him." So I start screaming because I'm 18 and scared. And one of the aides comes running in, opens the door, and sees this whole situation, yells, "Oh, hell no," runs out. I'm still like holding his hand, crying, and he falls back and passes away.
Oh my God.
You know, we did all of the appropriate post-mortem care, but that was easily the scariest thing that has ever happened to me as a nurse. I have a couple other ones for different facilities that I've worked at, but that was easily the scariest one I have. Happy Halloween. Thanks. Bye.
So obviously we're a little bit behind on these.
Oh, we're playing catch up still. I'm so excited that we finally, I've been asking for like hospital nurse stories or anything like that. So this is perfect. I was like, I've heard so many stories about, you know, like right before like someone passes away, they see loved ones. That one did not sound pleasant.
That's literally crazy. That's literally crazy.
That'd have been so scary.
I'm trying to put myself in her shoes that like, imagine being 18 years old and working in hospice of any kind and getting, I'm not going. I don't even know how I would handle that. Like, obviously, I'm not, you know, a medical professional or anything like that, but I genuinely am trying to like put myself in that position for a moment and think about, you know, what I would do. And I don't know. That is a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
both of these stories have had teenagers that teenage Robin could not handle. Yeah. So.
See, I don't want to, like, this dude. Obviously, like, we don't know his story. But I find, you know, like, if no one's visiting or anything like that, maybe he wasn't that great of a guy, you know? And then he has this situation happening where it's like, No, I do not want to go with you. Like, maybe someone was waiting for him on the other side that was not so happy with him.
Yeah. And I will say, like, you know, my grandma's in a nursing home now, and we go see her a bunch. And I don't know people's full stories or anything like that, but the amount of people that just straight up do not visit their families at all in nursing homes is something I was not prepared for in putting my grandma in a nursing home.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, there's going to be, just as, you know, shitty parents, there's going to be, like, you know, shitty kids.
I was actually not prepared for it because if on paper, and maybe this is the case, so I'm not sat here saying that this isn't the case, but if you were to just look at how many people get visitors versus how many people don't, you would think that 90% of the people in nursing homes, their children are fully no contact with them.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the case. I genuinely don't know. Like, I don't know these people's lives leading up to this. I'm not trying to say that that isn't what's happening. But that it was an alarming revelation for me. I obviously don't work in nursing homes. I just am at one four fucking times a week.
Visiting my grandfather, like, we would be the only ones, like, visiting him, like, and there wouldn't be, like, any other really any families around. And this is, like, crazy. A huge nursing home.
We see Stell. I take my small children to see her once a week. My parents see her usually about three times a week. And so she's always got people there to the point that she's almost annoyed with us. She's like, "Go home. I don't want you here. Get out of here. Nobody else has family visiting this often." But it has been something that's been like a weird revelation. I'm like, every time we've gone, I've never seen another non-resident there.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, like, yep, I don't know. It was crazy to me.
It was crazy.
I think we have time for one more story. We're going to skip that one for now, and we'll go to this one.
You guys, it's Paula. I just heard me on your show. I'm glad you guys like my story, and you wanted me to call back, so I'm calling back with another story. I think I might have a couple more, but I don't know. We'll see. So this one was one of my craziest ones. And the more I think about it, all my stories, my husband is somewhere around, and I'm starting to think, like, he's like the conduit, and it's not me.
It's always a man's fault.
Anyway, so this one, it was before I had a kid, so at least 7-8 years ago. My husband and I were getting ready for bed. You know, we were just sitting up in bed, you know, reading or watching TV or some shit, you know. And at the time, we had these two pit bulls. And we were just sitting there in bed, you know, lights were on, reading, screwing around on phone. And then Bella, our female, just starts barking and, like, looking at the wall above us where the headboard of our bed is. It wasn't, like, a mean bark. It was, like, an excited, happy bark. Like, you know when you're like maybe playing with your dog and you're like teasing it with the tree, there's that higher pitch, like, yeah. And I felt like an asshole, you know, but she was doing that.
Do it again, Paula.
And she seemed happy and really excited, and she was looking above the headboard, and I'm like, dog, what the hell are you barking at? And I'm like looking, I'm all yelling at her to shut up, and then I noticed she's kind of moving around the outside of the bed, like looking, like whatever it is she's looking at is like moving. And I'm looking up and I'm like, what the hell? They're a bug? Like, you know, and then I'm like, what's something making a noise outside that we don't hear? Like a rat or I don't know, but didn't have rats. And we're in the second story, so don't know. Then she jumps up on the bed and she's looking like intently, and she's running back and forth, like following whatever it is. And it happened long enough that my husband and I were like both like, what the fuck? Like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And it was very apparent that she saw something that we could not. And she wasn't scared. She wasn't angry. Like, she was stoked on whomever or whatever it was. And I was actually pretty glad that my husband saw, because he's the skeptic. I tried to bust out my phone to like record it, see if I saw anything. And there were like a shit ton of those orb things like you see on the ghost shows.
But, oh my gosh.
You know, that's kind of, I don't know. But that was one of the trippiest ones, and eventually it went away. But she was happy to see whomever or whatever it was.
Oh, well, at least was happy.
And then, I don't know. So that was one of my stories. I suppose I could... I'm back. All right, then. Okay, so another one. I'll just do this last one so I won't bombard you guys. I'm originally from San Diego, California. And again, with my husband when we were dating, he came down to see me before I moved up to where we live now. And we went to, for those of you that are somewhat familiar with San Diego or visited there, there's this very, very famous haunted house called the Whaley House. And it was owned by Mr. and Mrs. Whaley. They built it. It was one of the first courthouses in San Diego. And they had a courthouse built on the side, and there's a whole thing about the history of it, but it's very, very like well known for being like super duper haunted. When I was a kid, like in fifth or sixth grade, they even do like trips where they teach you about the history of San Diego. And I went, and they tell you all the stories about the different ghost experiences and this, that, and the other. And for years and years and years growing up, never saw anything, never felt anything, pretty bummed about it, but you know, it is what it is. So one time, you know, so took my husband. I'm like, yeah, we'll go to Old Town, San Diego. We'll go in the Whaley House. And I explained to him what it is. And you know, and I was telling him some of the stories that the docents before, you know, would say, oh, this is where this mate happened and this one, this is what happened. So one of the big things was at close to the top of the stairs, if you're walking up or down the stairs, so close to the top, people smell cigar smoke because Mr. Whaley was apparently like a big cigar fanatic. So sure as shit, walking up there and all of a sudden I smell cigar smoke. And it was like, dude, someone right there. And it wasn't like an icky, like breathing in smoke. It was just the scent clear as day. My husband smelled it and I told him, I'm like, bro, I've never experienced this. I've lived here all my damn life. It was super duper crazy. But yeah, that was one of those where never experienced it. Experienced it there, so apparently that place really is that haunted. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
That was so good.
Right. First of all, Paula,
I'd like to reiterate that we love your energy. Like, call it a 10 queen. Call us back.
We'll have Paula as a guest.
Paula, come on, gal. Come on down.
No, like, oh, the whole doshing was crazy. Like,
that is crazy.
Yeah.
Animals are so interesting. Like, I know I told you guys a story about when my grandpa died and like the dog was tracking him in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like dogs, animals just in general are so interesting about like how they can be so perceptive of things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I love that.
No, I love it.
Thanks for calling,
especially
Paula.
Since it was a good energy. Like, you yes. know, the dog was happy. Happy dog. We yeah. want to see happy dog spirit thing. So,
yeah. Those were all really good stories. Thank you guys for calling. Well, on that note, thank you all so much. I can speak so much for joining us for Coffee Talk this week. We hope we see you again next week for our regular episode. You can check out our website for links to our submission forms or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com or leave us a voicemail like we listened to today at 351-207-0799. You can tell us any ghost stories, witchy stories, tips, or topics that you think the community would love to hear.
And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want to support us directly, consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles, a special Part 2 exclusive episode, and How to Spell the Month Box, and a Discord. It's such a great community. Come join us, guys.
Yeah. And we were literally talking about like the labyrinth of like secret holes that are in the Discord. Cause I literally just messaged the Discord and was like in the Twilight channel to be like, we're having a watch party on Friday for the group mixer. So come hang out with us. We'd love to have you there.
Yep. Anyway,
see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
O'Reilly! Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly! Auto Parts.